You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What's this button do?
You are now entering the green world.
Last week, the government announced their budget, which included $38 million of cuts to conservation in New Zealand. This comes amid other moves by the government, including the disestablishment of the Ministry for Conservation, as well as the Conservation Amendment Bill, which could see protected conservation lands sold off. For Green World this week, I spoke to Richard Cappy, Chief Advisor for Forest and Bird, about what the government's budget means for conservation, what impacts it will have on the environment, and how this fits into the government's approach to the environment. To what extent are environmental issues being addressed in this budget, and what are your thoughts on it?
It's not good news for nature. So if we look, say, at conservation, the main kind of headline is that over $38 million has been cut from conservation funding in the next 4 years. So that's the money that's used to look after, a third of New Zealand for all of us. The amazing places that we love, places that people from all around the world come to see. And it's the money that's used to look after, like, all those incredible native species that we all care about. Our kiwi, our kakapo, tuatara, all sorts of things like that. It's incredibly important that we are investing in and looking after that stuff. So a $38 million cut in that funding isn't good news. But actually, that's only part of the story, because that $38 million cut is also on top of cuts from 2024 and 2025 budgets. So the real picture over the next 4 years is that DOC's budget is being cut by close to $200 million. Now, given that's a department that, that's like a quarter of its budget, and, that's terrifying in terms of what that will do to our ability to look after our environments, after, our conservation lands. I think, New Zealanders will be really, really angry and upset about that.
Yeah, and what do you think it will do to our ability to look after the environment?
Something's got to give, right? So these are cuts to what's called, DOC's baseline, so the money it actually gets to do stuff. So this isn't kind of back office things or anything like that. This is the nature's equivalent of frontline services. And the other bit is that if you look at the numbers, which is, most people don't dig into the detail, there's another figure in there, which is there's no money put aside to pick up for things like inflation or the fact that things are going to cost more in coming years. So the overall shortfall is closer to $400 million in the next 4 years. Yeah, so something has to give. We have incredible species. I mean, we've got 4,000 species in New Zealand that are threatened or at risk, right? So the idea that our environment is in good shape isn't true. Things that we celebrate, that we care deeply about, are really at risk. And the thing that's kind of holding the line in keeping some of these things from, in effect going extinct, is the hard work that's been put in on the ground by a lot of people at DOC, but also a lot of volunteers who work incredibly closely with these people. This stuff matters, because, if we lose those species, they're gone forever.
Do you think our conservation efforts will be able to cope with these cuts?
I think they're a breaking point already. So, something will have to give. There's already a lot of work going on around how you can make choices, but, the government's really stripping funding to levels that basically mean that, we will no longer be able to do the conservation work that's needed. And the scary thing is actually what the government's answer to this seems to be, which is, a couple of weeks ago, there was something called the Conservation Amendment Bill put into Parliament, which basically allows the government to sell and commercialise conservation land. So it opens up 60% of the conservation estate. So that's millions and millions of hectares of land will be now eligible to be considered for sale. And 100% of conservation land, so including our national parks and things like that, will be opened up potentially for economic development. So the answer seems to be we will try and make money out of our conservation estate. So quarrying, mining, more and more tourism as a way to try and fill that gap. But the bit that's interesting is there's no guarantee that any of that money, even if we wanted to go down that route, which I think New Zealanders do not want to do, would even make it back into conservation. We're just seeing that something that is incredibly important to all of us just being massively underfunded. And I don't know about you, but, I quite often say, you know, New Zealand makes $18 billion a year from tourism, right? The reason tourists come to New Zealand, they might come and have a look at the Sky Tower, they might go to Te Papa, but I guarantee most of them want to go and actually check out our amazing landscapes. They want to go and check out these incredible native creatures that you can only find here. And guess what? The reason that those landscapes are as pristine as they are, the reason we still have those species is that we are looking after them with conservation funding. So we're cutting that right back and we're putting all that income from tourism, not to mention the money we get from our primary industries, which are underpinned by fresh water, arable soils, things like that, all at risk. It just doesn't make any sense.
You've stated that the latest budget was a missed opportunity. What did you expect to see, and what more would you have liked to see in this budget?
To be honest, I think everybody was, going into this budget thinking we're not going to, there is going to be no new investment. But I think, there's a difference between no new investment and holding the line and making sure that we're at least funding an important part of our society and our country to actually be able to look after things that are precious for us. So, the expectation would have been we should have at least been able to make sure that DOC had the funding it needed to hold the line, even if we weren't prepared to actually go further. And I think the bit that also strikes me is, there is an opportunity here. Like, we collect something called the International Visitor Levy at the border, and that's basically $100 per person. And we tell people it's collected for tourism infrastructure and for conservation, right? So you land at Auckland Airport, you've paid your $100, and you think, as a tourist, you think, okay, I'm doing my bit. I'm going to go and get to see all these things. I'm going to be using, the public loos at the national park. And I'm doing my bit to help look after the biodiversity. So last year, we collected $190 million. So 50-50 split, $95 million for conservation, $95 million for tourism. Have a guess how much actually DOC got. It's $55 million.
Right.
Of which $33 million was actually for biodiversity. So what happened to the other $40 million? Well, actually, that's something that they call a baseline swap, right? That means it goes back to Treasury, which says, oh, hang on, we're already giving you some money, so we'll just count that instead.
Right, so it's not all being used for its initial purpose.
No, so there's a kind of magical money shuffle going on. And again, that's a missed opportunity. If we're collecting money for conservation at our borders and we're telling people it's being collected for conservation, we should be ring-fencing that and we should be making sure it's going on top of the money that we're already putting in. So, when the government talks about, hey, we're going to generate money out of the conservation estate to be able to do more conservation, you'll have to excuse me if I'm not convinced that that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Are there particular areas of focus you'd like to see more investment in and more funding?
Yeah, I think, looking after our incredible biodiversity is something which we know needs to happen. The good news is, we have those 4,000 threatened species. Obviously, a huge amount of effort goes into that. I think one of the things that tends to be quite difficult is it tends to be easier to kind of attract funding and invest in things that can make us feel good. So, if we want to put money into kiwis, it tends to be a lot easier to get support for things like that, things that people have heard of. I think one of the things that's really cool is actually over the last couple of years, DOC have done some really good work to be able to kind of understand where they need to put their effort and where they need to prioritize things based on things like, how at risk things are, how much money it would take to have what kind of impact. And I think one of the things we've got to be very careful of is, bright, shiny new initiatives that might make us feel good, but actually don't do the hard mahi. So, I've always said, when we've met with ministers, when we meet with people who are asking about, what they could do around conservation, our lines is pretty clear, which is, let's not get carried away with the things that might make us feel good. Let's look at the things that are actually going to make the biggest difference. And that's actually some of the really cool work that DOC's done. The thing is, they still need funding. We've got to back them. They've done some really good work to be able to say, look, this is where the effort's needed. This is how we can get the best bang for our buck. But if they haven't got any money, then that makes that exceedingly difficult.
Yeah. I mean, practically speaking, how is this money used on a day-to-day basis, and what do these cuts represent for frontline services?
You think of, you've got the biodiversity side of things, and then you've got the visitor side of things. So you've got a lot of the kind of dock infrastructure, so like tracks, trails, bridges, all sorts of things like that scattered all over the place. But then it's that money which is spent for really looking after endangered species. So, you know, rangers on the ground working with local volunteers to make sure that we're trapping, that we've got breeding programs in place, that we're monitoring actually the biodiversity health of our Ngāhere, our Manu, our Awa, so that, you know, we are actually putting the money into, for example, making sure that we've got kākāpō chicks coming through, that we are looking after, you know, some of the southern dotterels that are out there, you know, doing massive pest control programs, you know, things that if we weren't doing, we would be watching our native species basically heading fast towards extinction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what that work does. I think quite often we think of the doc as, you know, the men and women and their kind of, you know, green and kind of grey shirts, you know, being the rangers at the huts and things like that. But there's so much more work that they do, you know, science, research, but that hands-on protection, basically keeping these species, keeping them going so that, hey, we can enjoy them, we can feel pride in them. We're fulfilling our responsibility as a country to looking after, you know, DNA that only exists here.
Yeah.
Now, this is the only place in the world where these things live. So, you know, the responsibility isn't just to us as New Zealanders. It's actually, hey, it's us playing our part globally.
Well, what does this say about the government's commitment to environmental issues over the last 3 years? And what legacy do you think they will have with the environment?
Yeah, so I've talked a lot about conservation. You know, the environmental side of things is even bigger than that, right? So over the last 3 years, we've gone as far as saying, look, there's a bit of a war on nature that's been going on. So, you know, you've probably heard of something called Fast Track, which is opening up, you know, big parts of New Zealand to economic development, to mining, to quarrying, to housing development, to new roading and infrastructure, but without environmental checks in place. We've got resource management reforms, which frankly don't sound very sexy, don't sound very important, but actually are fundamental to all of us because they determine what gets built where. And the reforms that are going through just now, you know, there's an opportunity to really modernize the system, to do things better. But what we've got is this idea that actually we need to, the way the government intends to do that is to make things worse for the environment. So, you know, and the mahi that's been done around climate action is, frankly, you know, just regressive. We've paired our action on climate change back to the bone. We've kicked agricultural emissions back into touch. We're exploring a new LNG terminal up in Taranaki. We're talking about coal mining. You know, it feels like we're running as fast as we can back to the 1980s. So, you know, in some ways, this budget is just, you know, I'd love to say it's a one-off. I'd love to say it's an aberration. But, you know, the last 3 years have been brutal for the environment. And this budget is just the icing on the cake.
Yeah, is there anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, probably the main thing is, you know, I think all your listeners have got an opportunity. It doesn't matter what political party, you know, they intend to vote for. I think there's a couple of things they can do. If they care about the environment, they should be talking to their candidates and MPs and saying, what are you going to do to protect these places that I care about? Because if our politicians aren't hearing from us that nature and the environment matters, then actually the kinds of things we've been seeing are just going to carry on. So, you know, Forest and Bird works across all the political parties. You know, we're not a political organisation. But we need all your listeners to be out there, you know, actually asking those questions because nature can't vote, but we can.
That was Richard Cappy from Forest and Bird speaking about the government's latest budget and its impact on the environment.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.